This is
the Ambrosiano Radio Show
with Holly Breen.
Hello, podcasters. Welcome to the show. Today we have Kaz Cook, Ed Cavalli, and Intervention. Your facts are bullshit.
My facts are absolutely 100% correct.
No.
You can make money from selling them to small people.
Idiots. We bully a staff member about the amount of baths he takes a week.
Which was necessary because
so
it's too many.
So wrong. And just the way he says bath.
Oh, what?
Bath. Ooh. And then he said, faster pasta in my
faster
presence.
Faster pasta.
What the Kieran?
I don't know what that is. I don't even know what that language is.
What language are you speaking to me right now? Oh, my God. So the podcast is fast and fun. Enjoy.
It's the radio show that knows how to accessorize.
The first thing I Googled was rotating platform piano.
Hosted by two people who are so Aussie, they have convos like this.
Who was it?
Nah.
Do I know them?
Yeah.
Who say?
Nah.
Tell me.
And are always finding out fascinating things about each other.
Do you like John Farnham?
Have I not? Oh, no. This is awkward.
I don't mind the guy.
Have I
think
never
he's a lovely man.
Mentioned
hey.
That I stalked him as a child?
And no.
Bought a house in his suburb.
That's weird.
Yeah, I lived near him.
Creepy.
Tried to get his hair, did a...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, fantasised about the mullet.
This isn't going well. Oh, dear.
Okay.
This is...
The Ambrosiano Radio Show.
With Holly Breen.
Happy R&B Friday, everybody.
Yay.
Yes. It's a big day. It's Friday. That's the first exciting thing.
It is Friday.
R&B involved.
Friday. Yep.
You're on Today FM.
Who even knows what that is?
Today FM.
No, R&B.
Oh, okay. All right, mate, steady on. We have Ed Cavalli joining us today.
Yes.
We have Kaz Cook, the woman who single-handedly got me through pregnancy.
Yes.
A book up the duff, I'll tell you. Yep. So great.
She doesn't have a book up the duff. She has a book up the duff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how a book would get pregnant. It doesn't have, like, ovaries and stuff. But anyway, we sent producer Max on a challenge to interview Take That. We're still editing the footage because he did a 20-minute interview.
Yeah, he did. It's like he was trained how to interview by you.
Wait, I didn't hear that. What did you say?
Said it's like he was trained how to interview by you.
I don't do 20-minute interviews. 20? I do. Mind you, Pink was 9 minutes.
Yes.
And the 7 million people who've watched it would agree that was the perfect length. yes. That's it. Coming up next after Monifa, do you really want to touch it? Yes, I do.
Ooh.
We'll talk about... I was on the project last
night. Yes, you were.
I was on the telly. Talk about that. And last night, I was on the project, you guys.
Correct. Yeah. On the television.
I was on the television. I just want to say I'm so glad we do radio.
Yeah, why is that?
Oh, because, you know, you and I could sit like this and just go...
Yeah, we do. I do this a lot.
Just a little bit quiet.
I do that. You can't
just
do...
Just a little bit of contemplation. I can breathe. Maybe I'm not. How I'm feeling, like I can use throwaway words on telly, on live telly.
Yeah.
And a lot of the project isn't live. They pre-record heaps of the show, in packages and...
Sure.
And you're like, okay, so I got there. I was 40 minutes late. Not a good start.
No.
But there was two accidents on the way, and then I got stuck behind public buses and...
Yeah.
And people kept their cars parked in a clear way.
Well,
so
you're
that
not
was
used to
towed.
That time of the day.
No. That's when everyone else is out peak, like you guys now. I'm here. I'm tucked in. And then I leave in the middle of the day. So I was in foreign territory.
Yeah.
Scotty had to drive me because I was so anxious.
Yeah.
And then I thought I was going to throw up because I was so anxious.
Oh, that's
so Scotty
good.
Kept having to pull over. So it was really hectic. God, he's a good man. And so we finally got to Channel 10. And I've rushed upstairs and I'm in the makeup chair. And Kieran took some videos. So if you want to watch it, it's all on our things. And then they're like, they come down and like, Em, you're on in like, you're in the next segment. So I rush upstairs.
Yeah.
And then they put you on the set. And then they go, okay, we have 10 seconds to get a new seat in. They put your stunt water down. And then you just sit there. And then you've only got like 4 minutes.
And then you've got to get it all out.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to say. And so so my package comes on, the little, and they picked a bit of my stand up.
With all those noises.
And then they're like, go, go, go. And so you run to the desk. And then you slide your chair and you sit down. And I was next to Pete Hellier, so that was very comforting. And he put his hand on my knee. So, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay.
Australia's best friend.
Australia's best friend. So it was Pete, it was Waleed, and it was Kerry, and it was Fitzy.
Right.
I love Fitzy.
Yeah.
I love Fitzy. He's so kind. He's got a dirty mouth at the moment as well.
Dirty.
Yeah. And sat down, and we did the interview. And I watched, I was just, I don't actually, you don't For someone who does live radio and stand-up, I was not succinct at all. Like, I was just, I was a maniac.
Right.
I'd speak very fast and very loud.
That's a nice change.
Why are you having pot shots at me this morning? It's like slapping a kitten who's tripped over in her heels. I'm weak as it is.
I would slap a kitten if it tripped over his heels. It was a ridiculous thing to put on in the first place.
We have managed to go 11 months without being nasty to each other. Don't on your final farewell tour. Start swiping at me with your claws, lady. All right? Just put your claws back in, dog.
But if you did see a kitten in the heels...
You wouldn't slap it. Pick that kitten up. You'd sit her down. You'd go, doll, do you want some gin? Do you need a little drink of gin, little kitten? Do you need me to go and do the washing at your house, little kitten?
They're
nice heels, little kitten. Are they Gucci?
Don't feed gin to your chicken.
You're doing well, kitten.
It's a chicken.
I love you, kitten, and the nation loves you, and everyone wants to come to see your stand-up tour, little kitten. Well done.
Who are we talking to now?
On the kitten, idiot. The video of my project interview is on our Facebook page if you want to see a kitten falling over in heels.
Want more M. Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM. The M. Rossiano Radio
Show. With Harley Breen. You were in traffic mayhem, as I was.
Yesterday.
There's traffic chaos everywhere.
Yeah, but that's just stock standard now.
Yeah.
And you go, I'll catch public transport. These chockers.
And no one knows what they're doing.
Nah.
No one knows how to drive anymore.
People just panic. And if there's a weather change, forget it. If it rains or it gets really hot, people lose their minds.
What do I do now?
Everyone's an idiot on the roads except me, basically.
Absolutely correct.
Terrific.
I am the greatest driver that's ever existed and never do any of the mistakes that everyone else does around me.
I never.
This morning, a woman was just drifting. It's like, I don't know.
Don't you wish you could taser them?
5 past 5 in the morning.
Don't you ever fantasize about tasering people in traffic?
Just I don't know if I'm allowed to say what I fantasize about.
Don't.
But I just want to...
Shoot a taser.
I just taser take them. Some of the wheels out. Just like... every now and then, I should just be allowed to take a few wheels out. That's what I'm saying. Just
sure.
You made that happen.
Okay.
So, this woman this morning is just drifting in and out of lanes. I'm just like, well,
that's not safe.
I don't think she was right. But yesterday, I'm driving on. I was going out to get my canvas cover for my trailer fixed because
hashtag
I am
on brand.
And by the way, you know that my mechanic fell in love with my car.
Yeah.
Well, this canvas guy's fallen in love with my trailer.
He's like, so irresistible to men.
This is a bloody good trailer.
Oh my God.
Where'd you get this? I went, put it on eBay. He's like, Jesus, good. I don't make them like this anymore. We had a half an hour chat. Oh, I was like, I'm going to go, mate. It was miles out. But the point of the story is I had to fill a brake. No.
He's really given up. We may need to substitute Harley into someone else today. Is there anyone available to host with me this morning?
Tap in. So I'm driving along on a two-lane carriageway, as they refer to it.
Mm.
And the lane I was in came to a halt. And I figured somebody was turning right in front of the truck that I was behind. So
were you driving in your car with a trailer on the back?
Yes, correct.
Okay, that's hectic.
Yeah, it is hectic. I'm a hectic guy.
That's a big hectic situation.
I was also whittling wood and turning a pig in the back.
Yeah.
So I pulled out into the other lane and then immediately saw why that lane was stopped was because the left lane was ending and there was a big flashy arrow to everyone emerge in.
Yeah.
So I had inadvertently become the jerk that's going down and cutting the line.
Oh, no.
But I was there and I had a trailer. I couldn't get back in. And then this person in the right-hand lane just sort of drifted over a bit. I'm like, another idiot.
On their phone. Taser them.
Taser.
On their phone?
Probably.
Double taser.
I couldn't see, but I imagine that's why that's why people are drifting out of their lanes now. Because they're like, yeah, what did I do on Facebook?
Yeah.
You're driving a car. Yeah. Don't be looking at your phone. So then I get past. He was only just on the white line. Then I looked in my revision mirror and then I noticed that he drifted into the lane and then stayed in that position. And I went, oh, no, no, no. He's not drifting. That guy has just become the police. He's just decided he is the traffic warden and no one else is getting past.
Amazing.
He just stayed.
I love him.
Half in two lanes.
Vigilante.
Absolute vigilante.
Traffic vigilante.
He stayed in his line and he made sure everybody else that was trying to cut the line stayed where they were.
He was preventing cutter inners.
He was preventing that. He was that guy.
I don't want to throw around the term hero, but this man, I would get out of the car and clap him.
Yeah.
I hate cutter inners.
Yeah, I don't
Unless
like
I need to cut in.
There's a line.
Unless it's me.
I mean, I cut in.
Oh, I cut in.
With a trailer
100%.
As well.
I mean, I give them a nice big wave because yeah. like, they get angry. Then I'm just like, I'm going, hey, thank you.
I don't even
And then
wave.
They're all like, oh, that's all right. That's I nearly died, but she's got a friendly face.
I don't drive. I don't wave. When I cut in, I'm like, I made that happen. High five myself.
Yesterday was a bit mixed up. Yeah. We both thought the other was going to interview Take yeah, That.
That's right.
I had a very busy day. You did not.
I had to go and
You've
see
You've completely given up. And
no, not at all. Wasn't given up. I had to go to get canvas fixed on a trailer.
So, producer Max, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
You were sent to interview Take That.
This was my moment. I was so excited. I was so nervous. I honestly stood there like putting cologne on maybe every 2 minutes before they came in because I was just like, oh, my God, I'm so sweaty. I'm so hot. It's oh.
You're still so nervous. It's
but then
amazing.
I had to channel my inner M. I had to lock it down. And
lock
I did.
Down.
I hope I did.
Good girl. And I hear that you brought your hair straightener to work just special.
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, right. I get ready at like 3:45 in the morning.
Yes.
And so the updo can only hold up for so long. So.
Yes. Now, Luke went with you also.
Yes.
And he,
yep.
Hey, Lukey.
Hey.
How did Max go? Do you feel?
Same person. Yeah.
He was very nervous.
Yes.
But he did all right, I think.
What a critique.
It's a nerve-wracking thing to have Gary Barlow stare deep into your eyes. It's just, yeah.
Oh, my
you know,
God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we have now. I haven't heard it. You haven't
heard
it. Producer Kieran is slaving over the video because apparently you were in there for 20 minutes.
Oh, it felt like 2 minutes. And then like I looked over and they're like wrapping me up like crazy. And I'm like, oh, how long have they been doing that for?
Amazing. So here we have producer Max's interview with Take That.
Now, I work on the Em Rusciano radio show with Harley Breen on Today FM. Em Rusciano, huge, huge, huge fan. She's very sorry she couldn't be here today. She's rehearsing for her show that she's doing. She's a singer herself.
How inconsiderate of her. she's putting her own career before ours.
Oh, look,
terrible.
Lovely, lovely girl. So she'll be horrified to think that, you know, that's what you thought. But this is actually my first ever interview. So I can't believe that it's with you guys. Like,
oh, we're professionals, we are. We're going to make it so easy for you.
So, let's kick off. It's 27 years since you guys formed and you're doing a world tour. It was 1995 last time you were here. How are you still able to be touring, you know, with having members have left the band, members have come back, they've left again. How are you still giving everyone Take That and it being so good?
It's probably the music, I guess, mm-hmm. because the one thing that remains consistent, no matter who is in the band, is the music's always there. And mm-hmm. We do, you know, when we put a concert on, we try and play music as far back as when we started, 1991, mm-hmm. right up to the current date. We, you know, we're still a band where we feel like we're wanting to prove ourselves and write new material that belongs in 2017, and so we're an ambitious band still. And I think the minute you go to sleep and you forget all that, it's probably the end.
If I think back to you know, your earlier stuff, there's amazing choreography and, you know, there's bare chests in all of your concerts. Is that something that we can expect still?
No, we wear t-shirts now.
Yeah.
We don't wear vests anymore.
When you guys broke up, a national crisis phone line had to be put in because people weren't handling the fact that you guys were breaking up. How did that feel?
Very surreal at the time.
I don't know if we really realised what we meant to people mm-hmm. at that point, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, I think we're more than a band. We're part of people's lives. Mm. When you bring that up now, I understand it more now than I did back then.
Do you guys ever get some weird things from your fans?
We did once did a concert in Europe in Italy. I got given this little packet with air in it. And it was, and above it said Mark's hair, and they were actually selling merchandise outside the arena, pretending it was Mark's hair, Howard's hair, mm-hmm. Gary's hair, selling it as merchandise.
Yeah.
And I got given that off a fan saying, look what they're selling outside.
It's been 22 years since you've been here. We would love for it not to be 22 years until you come back.
Oh, it won't be.
Promise
you.
It won't
that.
Be.
Promise you.
Fantastic. Well, you're always welcome here. It's absolutely been lovely chatting to you. Thank you for taking my, you know, my first interview.
Yeah.
You're not a
good
virgin anymore.
Interview. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Great. Well done.
Wow. Well done, Maxi.
Oh, thank you.
So professional.
Thank you.
Oh, jeez. Just minimal fapping too. Well done.
Oh, there was lots of fapping that got cut out. Okay. So
I can hear the internal fap.
Yes, yes.
Good job, Joel. Do we need to plug this show?
Well, Take That performing at Kudos Bank Arena tonight. Tickets at ticketek.com.au.
Oh, well done, Max Kostov.
And oh, thanks, babes.
Feeling crappy? We want you to get happy. Hi, I'm fitness trainer Tiffany Hall.
And I'm clinical psychologist Cass Dunn.
Our podcast, Crappy to Happy, gives you the tools to feel happy and awesome.
It's not about a drastic life overhaul. It's simple strategies for physical and emotional health.
If you're into living and feeling better, you'll love Crappy to Happy.
Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au.
No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
With thanks to SodaStream, you can enjoy fresh sparkling water at your fingertips.
That's right. You get a SodaStream.
Oh, it's sick.
You have the best suggestion. Today's one on 131060. People magazine have released their Sexiest Man Alive winner.
Which is subjective.
Sure.
But it's their magazine.
Yeah, it's fine.
They can call it.
Of course. Past winners have been Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Adam handsome Levine. Man. Yeah, of Maroon 5, who we've just decided he's handsome.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Last year was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. So some, you know, notables. Quotable notables. This year, Blake Shelton has won it, country and western singer and voice coach, and Mr. Gwen Stefani. He's Gwen Stefani's bloke.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're in love. They met and fell in love on The Voice.
Didn't know.
And you know,
wonderful.
He's adorable. He's a big, lovable bloke. And the internet is not coping with the fact
the internet
that
has gone to meltdown.
Has been named Sexiest Man. Someone wrote, "Is everyone else dead?" on Twitter. Angry Black Lady wrote, "Blake Shelton is a man and he's alive. That's all the credit he's getting from me."
What is happening to the internet?
Susie Meester, "Trump is president. Blake Shelton is the sexiest man alive. Snooki better start planning a Nobel Prize."
Oh.
Speech. And finally, "Even a straight man can see that no way Blake Shelton is the sexiest man alive. I don't even think he's the sexiest man named Blake Shelton."
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
now,
come
listen,
on, guys.
Everyone.
Well, let's give it up. 131060, who do you think the sexiest man alive is? It's easy. Who's the superior sexiest man alive?
Yeah, well, I before this, had not had to pass judgment upon Blake Shelton.
Oh, he's a lovely looking guy.
But he's a very handsome unit.
He's kind eyes.
He's big.
And you know
he's
what?
He's country. He's got a chiseled jawline. He's got face hair. Sorry, I'm just looking at the mirror.
Oh, my God.
You're so gross. You actually are so gross. But you do look a lot alike.
We're pretty handsome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You actually look like brothers. He also, what I love, he actually loves Gwen Stefani so much. He says, "I love her most with no makeup on." So he's stepped in because obviously her and Gavin had a massive split up and it was bad.
Who's Gavin?
Gavin Rossdale from Bush, her ex-husband. Oh. Yeah.
I'm not up on this.
Oh, mate, they had a nasty split.
Right.
And so, you know, they've got together. He's a big goofy guy.
Yeah.
And she's like a bit crazy and arty and creative.
Yeah.
And they work. And I just think if someone gets named Sexiest Man Alive, let him have it.
Just let him have it.
Internet. Have a nap.
You don't have to agree with it, but don't be nasty.
Don't go online.
He's
having his moment. Blake got the call. He's like, "Congratulations. You're the sexiest man." Blake's getting out of bed. He's got a strut in his step. He's feeling good.
Yeah.
And then he starts,
And then he just checks Twitter
to
see what's happening there.
Someone asked if everyone else is dead.
It's just vile vomit.
But who's your sexiest man ever? 131060, who's the superior sexiest man of all time? Go. And straight men, you can ring up too.
Everyone can ring up.
Yeah, you know,
it's all right to admire beauty.
100%. Who do you like?
Oh, I'm trying to think who I've actually find the sexiest
man.
Right.
We haven't had enough of a run up to this segment for you to come up with anyone.
Well,
you just said it.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, I get that.
Is so handsome.
He's
for
great.
Not just aesthetics. Mm. I feel like his demeanor oozes out in his beauty.
Great personality.
Great personality. Because it was Ryan Gosling. Who are mates, by the way.
You do love.
That's good.
I know.
I do like
him. Love him, but we
he's
worry.
He's serious.
Yeah, he takes himself a bit seriously.
Calm down, mate.
Doesn't he?
Who's yours?
Well, obviously the original, the OG, is John Peter Farnham.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, then yeah. I moved, obviously, to Fred Savage from the Wonder Years.
Sure.
But I have to say, after meeting him in the flesh and sitting opposite him, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, yeah. you know, I don't want to be cliche. I don't want to be, he's already my course, duh, he's Thor. But yeah. he is so elegant as well.
Yeah. And he's a demigod.
He's so handsome yeah. and lovely, and he blue eye. He looks you in the eye. He asks questions. Yeah. He smells amazing. He's got strong I love a meaty forearm.
You need a meaty forearm.
I love a meaty forearm.
If you don't have one, you've got to go and get one.
He's got all beads and stuff, and he's tanned, yeah. and he loves his wife, yeah. and he loves his kids.
He's very Byron Bay, isn't he?
He lives in Byron
he
Bay.
He is Byron Bay.
And he's the everyman. So I have to say.
I'd give it.
Yeah, you'd let him.
I'd let him, yeah. for sure.
13,
he's a demigod.
He's a demigod.
Whatever you need, Thor.
Sure, mate.
It's got 13, a hammer.
13, you know who else gets up there for me now after we met him too? Jimmy Barnes.
Oh, Jimmy Barnes was a handsome man.
God damn.
Ooh.
I didn't realise how hot Barnes he was until I was in his presence.
Mate.
Tanned chest with just a soft smattering of white hair, nestled in a lovely Buddha chain. I didn't
Take
know where to
arm
look.
And call me Judy.
Gee.
He was
right?
wonderful.
Judy. 13, 10, 60. Well, who's the superior, sexiest man alive? And you know what, Blake Shelton? You're okay, mate. You're okay by me.
You're a bloody handsome
Good on
unit,
you, mate.
Buddy. Good on you.
Good on you. Take your calls next.
Want more M. Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM.
The M. Rossiano Radio Show.
With Harley Breen.
It happened yeah. to you and the sexiest man alive, Blake Shelton.
Turns out,
guys.
Listen.
Guys.
We shot our load a little
we
bit.
We didn't do enough research. Or perhaps other people who employed the research for us
I don't think we
could
can
have alerted
them.
Us
I don't think we can blame them.
So we're doing What's a Superior Sexiest Man Alive.
Yeah.
And initially this segment started out in defence of the man who's been named
Sexiest Man Alive by People magazine, Blake Shelton.
Now you're like, who the hell is he? He's a country and western singer.
Yeah.
He's a coach on The Voice US. He's
yes.
also Gwen Stefani's boyfriend.
Yes. And I and both of you said yeah. he's a handsome devil.
And people are upset saying he's not sexy, he's horrible. Turns out...
He's had a checkered Twitter history.
He's had some racist and homophobic tweets.
Yep.
And
I don't endorse it.
I don't.
Take him back, sexiest man alive.
I don't think he should.
You got pippy eyes and crap teeth.
Yeah, boo, and a weird tattoo on you. I don't like you. I don't like anything about I mean,
and I'm taking your shirt.
I don't like you.
Because I actually like it.
We want to retract everything we said about him, and yep. we don't agree with anything he tweeted. Yep. It was hectic.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, if you want to read some hectic stuff, just Google Blake Shelton. Okay, but let's move that away.
And he kind of apologized.
Throwing it on the ground. No, he didn't apologize.
What he did is.
He said I was making jokes.
Yeah, I was making jokes.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, make jokes, mate. Yeah, it's just comedy. No, you're just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Racist and homophobic.
So we're going to find some other
suggestions.
Suggestions.
Better ones.
Who's the superior, sexiest man alive? And I encourage straight men to call up too, because that is how this works.
Yes.
Tay, hey, Tay.
Hello, good morning, happy Friday.
Thanks, Friday. Mate. Who's the superior sexiest man alive?
Oh, he's famous for three words, all right, it's got to be Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, all right.
He's so hot. He's so hot. And in Dazed and Confused, where he wears just like pink flares and he has this mo, ooh, baby.
Remember just before he was doing films where he was now taken seriously as a legitimate actor, Oscar-winning, he was just shut off.
All the time.
Every film was just shut off for no good reason.
I know someone who knows him very well. And
oh, yes.
He is that exact human. He lives in a, you'll love him, he lives in a really glamorous RV with his partner who is ridiculously beautiful. And he every night plays the bongos at the moon.
Oh.
Yep, he genuinely lives your ultimate life.
I have for years, even when he was doing very crap films, which they were, I've looked at him and gone, oh, I'd love to have a beer with you.
Yeah, he's
now, here's the problem. My partner, the love of my life, Hannah, doesn't like him at
all. Why? Oh,
and I don't, I'm like, and I'm not into him enough to be like, nah.
Are you worried? You think it's legitimate you're going to have a beer with him and the only thing standing in the way is the Hannah's dislike of him?
He called me up the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's a
Matt,
sauce, mate.
Buddy, I want you to come around, but my partner thinks you're rank.
Rank? Oh, he's a bit skeezy in
he's
a bit skeezy in Magic Mike.
He's a bit skivy.
He's a bit skeezy there. Yeah, I get it. Look, I think it's a fine line between skeezy and sexy for him. I think he falls either side of it. Yeah. But, you know, let's comment on people's physical appearance. Alicia. Hey, Alicia.
Good morning, sexy jerks.
Yes. Who is it? Who's the superior sexiest man alive?
All right. So running a close second to Radio's Harley Breen
right.
would be Channing Tatum, for sure, every day of the week.
Okay.
Yeah.
He can dance. Yeah. He's funny. Yeah, like, look at Jump Street. It's hilarious. And Blake Shelton just looks like the divorced dad at a barbecue. So
he's also a bit racist and homophobic.
Yeah, it turns out.
Divorced white dad at a barbecue.
I always say Tanning Chatham. I always really struggle.
Channing says.
Tanning Chatham. It feels like it's the wrong way around. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He is another one. He loves his wife. I'm always
Channing
for
Tatum.
That. Yeah, they did lip sync battle together.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
And it was she did the strip routine for him.
Who's his wife?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Can someone look up Channing? Max, you'll know. Can you put in the screen, please? And Max will know, not because he's a homosexual man and interested in pop culture, because he's a research producer.
Yes.
Thank you. Phoebe. Who is it?
Who are we talking about?
Channing Tatum.
Yeah, Jenna Dewan.
Yeah. Okay.
Show me her. What's she been in?
She's a dancer.
Oh, hot.
Step Up.
Amazing. Oh, she was in Step Up. That's where they met.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Phoebe. Hey, Phoebe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Oh,
very good,
Joel.
Thank you.
Now, you're a young person to be having this person as your sexiest man alive.
I know, but, like, this movie, Dirty Dancing, was my whole entire childhood and, like, really connected me to the other females in my life, and it was because of Patrick Swayze, and he's just so beautiful.
Oh, we could fill out a pair of Levi 501s, couldn't he? Woo!
He was a handsome man.
He was hectic in jeans.
I imagine he was a bit short.
Who cares? They're all short. Actors are short.
They used to be all short. Yeah. Now they're getting bigger, thanks to Hemsworth. They've raised the bar, literally.
Give me a moment. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good, Joel. Who's the superior sexiest man alive?
Mark Wahlberg.
I am on board.
I'm glad you said that, because I have about a million reasons why he's the
sexiest
man alive.
Go, give us your reasons. Go, Rebecca.
One, he was part of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
correct.
Given, yes.
Two, he was a Calvin Klein model.
True. Yes.
He saved the world.
Yes.
Not only in Transformers, but also in Planet of the Apes. Yep.
Well, I tell you what, he could have saved the world if he just canned Transformers and never released it.
Look, I agree with that too.
Okay.
It's a horrible film.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And he's got that really sweet voice, and he just talks like this in every single one of his movies, doesn't matter what character he's playing.
So,
I thought that was Marky Mark on the phone. Thanks, Rebecca. Can I have a late inclusion?
Yes.
And I can't believe I forgot him.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry. Travis Fimmel, a.k.a. Ragnar Lothbrok of Vikings.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God. And Sam Hugill from Outlander, Jamie Fraser.
Yes.
They're my two. Travis Fimmel, hands down. Aussie guy. He's Australian.
Is he?
Ragnar Lothbrok of Vikings is Aussie, and oh my Christ.
He was a Calvin Klein model too.
Yeah, there's four female brothers.
What?
Who are equally as attractive.
Oh my God, there's so many men I need to have a beer with.
Whoa. Travis Fimmel, if you're listening.
Big
oh my God. Just get in my basement.
Whoa.
Hey, Sky.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good morning.
Now, who's the sexiest man alive for you?
Well, I have two.
Yeah.
And I'm a gay woman, so these are huge for them.
Sure. But, well done, guys.
First one's Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
And second, Ollie Murs.
Who's Ollie Murs? He's
a singer.
Did you just say who's Ollie Murs, Harley?
Go him, Sky.
Sorry, have we just met Sky? Are you just finding out who I am?
get a little hook up of his song.
Oh, yeah, we can
get a little hook. It's, you know who he is.
I probably, when
can
I see him.
Can you work on this station and not know who Ollie
Murs
is? I
don't know, my brain hurts.
Oh, my God. Kieran's coming.
Army of two, dear darling.
Yeah, dear darling.
There's no way he's
going to notice. You've worked on this station for a year and a half now.
Was he in some sort of group?
No.
X Factor England. X Factor UK.
Thank you, Sky.
I can't imagine. I didn't miss an episode of that. It's so weird that I...
Sky, you get the SodaStream dog.
Oh, Sky!
Well done, everyone.
Thanks.
And we're very...
I feel a little bit dirty about that whole thing we just did. We
Why?
Were like, people are judging people for looking, and then we did the whole thing.
I was very careful to be very complimentary.
Yes.
I think it's okay if you say they're hot.
Yeah.
It's only if you go the other way.
Yeah.
Sorry about old mate too, Blake Shelton.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Hi, Mackenzie of Campbelltown.
Hi.
How are you? What are you doing? Where are you going?
I literally just got up this morning and called you straight away, so I'm, like, getting ready for work.
Good choices.
Where do you work?
I work at a PR company.
Oh,
PA.
Fantastic.
Well.
Okay. We're going to give you $10,000, hopefully.
Hey, Mackenzie, awesome. you got a first name. A last name is a first name.
I love that.
Yes, I've heard that a bit.
So do I. Harley is a last name, not a first name.
Is it? I just thought it was a motorbike.
No, so and so Harley and so and so Davidson joined to make the company.
Did
Harley
they?
Davidson. Correct.
Well, Harley Davidson fact. Was just one.
Also,
person.
Here's a fun fact: Randall and Sinclair, my brothers, also surnames.
Okay, great. Wow.
Anyway, that had nothing to do.
You
with...
You love facts.
I love facts.
You love the facts.
Even when I make them up.
What? You don't make facts up.
What? No, I'm a dictionary.
That's not where you get facts from. That's where you get words from.
No, facts come from dictionaries. No, Did you know?
Are you making a fact up about where facts come from?
Gallible out of the dictionary.
Oh, God. Oh, facts come from dictionaries. Okay, here we go.
Dad's here. Right, Mackenzie, your letter is H.
H. No worries.
Yes. Great. Or H. You have 30 seconds after I finish the first question. We have to take your first answer. You can only use it once. I believe in you, Mackenzie.
Thank you.
I believe you can get the 10 grand. Go quick. Here we go. I'm starting now. Name an ice cream flavour.
Hazelnut.
A movie.
Harry Potter.
A hobby.
Hiking.
A female celebrity.
Halle Berry.
An airline.
Pass.
A tool.
Hammer.
A board game.
Hungry Hippos.
An animal.
A hippopotamus.
A Broadway musical.
Hamilton.
A shape.
Hexagon. Yeah.
An airline.
Mate,
you're so close.
What's an airline? Don't say Helsinki.
No, Hong Kong or Hawaii.
Oh, I would never have got that.
Oh, my God.
Mate, you were quick and great and excellent. I wish you'd got that.
Pursing his butt cheeks.
To be fair, I think if we'd got to the 10,000, you may not have got it. They've given you the $100 for Harry Potter, but that's not the title of the film. It's always Harry Potter and the blah, 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 blah. If they wanted to be finicky, I'm just saying, it's not our choice.
$900 though.
$900.
Thank you so much.
Well done, Mackenzie.
Well done. Gosh, she was good. Good on you, Mackenzie. Enjoy that.
Hi, I'm Rosie Waterland, and my memoir, The Anti-Cool Girl, was a story about my childhood. A childhood with mentally ill, addict parents, child protection, foster care, and more. But my mum says none of it is true. So now we're comparing our versions of the past with my Podcast One series, Mum Says My Memoir Is a Lie. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Now listen.
I'm locking
you
down.
Please. You need to lock it. You are on lockdown for what I'm about to talk about. And when I put Harley, I mean it.
I'm doing it.
You're leaving the show soon, but I am not. I still need the job. I want the job. I love doing radio on Today FM. Please.
So do I. That's serious. And this is a serious topic.
Christopher Pan.
Christopher Pan.
Christopher Pan's Twitter was hacked. And we need to talk about it.
Good luck.
Parliament are forcing an investigation into an incident that saw Defence Industry Minister Christopher Pan, his Twitter account, interacted with an explicit pornographic video. XXXX porn gay.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Pan's account
liked
a video.
That's right.
XXX porn gay. And he's saying.
Yes.
I was hacked.
I believe him and take his word.
Can I just say?
He is an Australian politician of the federal parliament and a minister.
Okay. So he is saying, and everyone's going, yes, of course it was hackers. Because
at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yes.
Hackers are definitely.
And
hacking into Christopher's account.
Yes, just for one thing.
Lie.
They're very niche hackers.
They're niche.
They're very specific.
They had a meeting.
Sure, some could argue if you've got into the defense minister's account, you do other things with the Twitter account. You know,
you imagine
might
all the things
write
you could
something
write.
About. Hey, yeah. let's do better. Yeah. Let's help the refugees. Let's not go to nuclear war.
Yeah.
They just like the one thing.
Yeah.
When someone may say in the middle of the night, be sitting on the toilet.
Well, you or I are not hackers.
Oh, no.
Right? And see, that's why when a hacker does something, they've had a committee meeting.
Yeah.
And they're like, now don't get carried away. We're just subtle.
Yes.
We're like the Trojan horse.
Yes.
We're going. I don't know if it's like the Trojan horse.
Let's hear what Corey Bernardi had to say about this.
Yeah.
We need to know exactly how far this hacker penetrated into the government's sensitive documents and, you know, what we're going to do about it because our national security is at stake.
I've never heard it referred to as the government's sensitive documents before.
Bernardi's taking the piss.
Is that a euphemism, Bernardi?
Now, Christopher Pan has said this.
It's a private Twitter account. It has no connections at all to government, parliamentary or defence accounts. Nothing else is being compromised.
What are you talking about?
Same. You think they're being compromised.
Hey, listen, we should have some respect for that.
Nah.
His Twitter account was hacked.
And
this
by
is
the
a
most
of national security.
Niche hacker I've ever heard of
super
in my
niche.
Life.
Yeah.
XXX porn gay.
They're going to make a film. Remember Hackers, the 90s
film
with Angelina
Jolie? Oh, they'll make a whole film about this hack.
They're going to make a film
this
about
is
this.
Massive.
Mark my words.
I want them to spend $100 million finding this hacker.
Sky is in the dungeon. He's typing in algorithms just to get in and like a picture.
I demand an inquiry. I demand Parliament halts.
I will personally
until
pay
we
more
find this
tax.
Hacker.
I will pay more tax. To find this person.
Who just liked one thing
better
on a gay porn site from Christopher Pine's account. I will not have him besmirched. How dare you? How dare you? And how dare you?
Want more M. Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM.
The M. Rossiano.
Always fills me with confidence when I say to my co-host, have you read it? The
and
next
I
thing
said,
we're talking about?
I said, sure. I actually have read it. And speaking of R&B Friday, bagpipes.
Oh, this makes me think of Outlander.
Everyone's so happy to hear that noise in the car. New Zealand man pulled over for playing bagpipes while driving.
What?
Now, I just want to warn you, Kimmy, our producer, wanted to do what have you seen other people doing while they're driving, and I said to her we're just going to get one type of phone call.
You know what I saw?
Please.
I saw a woman wearing a desk.
What?
What?
Now, while she was driving.
Carrying it. But if you put your arms up and through something and it goes down and around your body, you're wearing it. So, you know the drawer part of the desk?
Yeah.
She'd taken the drawers out and had put her body through that, and she was the passenger on a scooter in India. That was crazy.
That's amazing.
She's wearing
crazy.
A desk.
Tell me about this.
But that's not about this.
Yeah.
New Zealand police pulled over a man this week because he was driving while playing the bagpipes. Have you seen a man play a bagpipe?
It's
a
really
woman play
hard.
A bagpipe? It's a two-handed face thing. There's a lot. You're pumping the bag with this arm and you're tiddly-tiddly with this one. You can't be doobity-doobities with the steering wheel and playing the bagpipes.
No.
The driver didn't have their hands on the wheel at the time and he was clearly playing the instrument while driving the car.
Oh, my God. His fingers were going a million miles an hour, acting Sergeant Bryce Johnson has said. I love it. But what about the next bit?
However, the driver denied the allegations and said he was only playing the air bagpipes.
Oh,
I love New Zealand
brilliant.
So much.
No, bro. It was the air bagpipes. How dare you? How would a New Zealander say, how dare you? How dare you, bro?
Oh, piss off, bro.
Have
you seen the New Zealand version of Cops, by the way?
Yes.
It's the best. New Zealand cops are the most polite, understanding.
Excuse me, sir. Can you pull the car over, please?
Hey, bro.
Have you had anything to drink, sir?
You're going so fast.
Bro, slow down.
Worst New Zealand accent ever.
You know what I love? So the sergeant has kept going and said, I definitely saw... a black type instrument which looked like a clarinet, guys. So we've downgraded from bagpipe. So this guy's just cutting sick, probably to You're the Voice by John Farnham. He's just doing a little bit of. And what I love is, who does an air bagpipe?
Who's
straight to air guitar. Who's miming with a bagpipe? What kind of amazing idiot is going, you know what instrument I'm going to fake while I'm driving? Bagpipes.
Straight at bagpipes.
Just shredding with my fingers. Amazing.
Yeah. Bassoon.
The driver was let off without warning. So
it's a good story.
But Johnson's come out and go, look, we are also concerned with the amount of drivers using mobile phones. Neither of these things, bagpipes or mobile phones, are a good idea.
Hey, did you know in 1756 the tent peg was invented? And not to hold a tent to the ground. It was actually to put it in the middle of a field so that a man could break his toe on it.
It's funny you bring up facts, Joel, because you love a fact.
Yeah, like that one.
You love a fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I trust you. And I just thought these facts were perhaps coming from a place of, reality.
Do you know that ducks
truth
can actually make
don't try
underwater.
And cover yourself now. Shut up.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have a little chat. Now, yesterday, or a couple of days ago, you revealed a fact about Pavarotti.
He holds a coin between his butt cheeks so that he can hit the top notes.
Let's remind us.
Do you know a fact about Pavarotti?
Tell me.
Kept a coin between his butt cheeks, and he would purse his butt cheeks to hold the coin there so he could hit the notes.
He actually did not do that.
That is absolutely the truth.
He never did that.
He did.
In fact, it's a myth that has been well disproven many, many times over, because clenching, sir, leads to tension, and tension puts unnecessary strain on your vote. You know how much effort it takes to close your sphincter?
That's what they want you to think.
Clench your sphincter.
I'm always clenching my hair, mate.
Now you're doing that.
I'm always purred.
Now try and sing.
Well, la, 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 la.
You can't do it. The myth tenor, Francesco Albanese and Luciano Pavarotti would clench any part of their body is absolutely not true. That is according to BroadwayWorld.com.
No, Pavarotti used the coin. What was the other guy's name?
Francesco Albanese.
Yeah, Francesco. That was the guy. He put a whole roast chicken up there.
So no one's shelving a 10-cent piece to sing better, mate. So that fact is proven.
Well, you believe what you want.
Let's hear the next fact.
Yeah.
The average person walks past at least 16 murderers in their lifetime.
What? 16?
I don't even remember saying that.
A person will cross paths with a murderer on average 7 times during their lives.
That's just off by 9.
Stephen Mostyn, who's the head of criminal investigation.
What was I talking about that for? That doesn't seem.
The final one.
Yeah.
This one.
The original soccer ball had 32 panels to represent the 32 countries in Europe.
True?
That is absolutely a fact.
Actually, the first original soccer ball was made of seeds wrapped in a piece of linen.
Yes.
That's what Jesus played football with. The ancient Egyptians came up with that. Yep. So what I just want to say is...
Well, I did a quick search on that soccer ball thing, and that's just what that told me. Is I was like, well, I'll go with that. Because the way I see facts is they're conversation starters.
Oh, so just a guy.
Just make them up.
They're just... I think,
well, I'm not like... operating on someone's brain, am I? Although, did you know you can do that?
I feel like the part of that, the word fact, I feel like that actual title of what you're about, fact, means that the truth must follow.
Well, if you drink enough whiskey, you actually become a brain surgeon.
131060, what's your fact? What's the one fact that you've probably, if you were raised by a baby boomer, if you're, like my mum used to have some pearlers that I've later just discovered was just lazy parenting.
Oh, that just makes stuff up.
Just to terrify you into submission.
Unlike me, who's well researched and only ever speaks the truth. Our parents, horrible people.
Oh, we already hate the boomers enough. Let's hope Kaz Cook isn't a boomer.
Pigs.
She'd be an expert.
Here's one for you.
Yes.
Pigs have a corkscrew penis.
That's true.
That's
legit.
That's legit.
I know that because I researched it because I was fascinated. Don't Google image that.
Also
it's
ducks.
Not fun. 131060,
that's true.
What's your fact? What's the one fact you trot out at Christmas or you like to tell your friends?
Yep.
And we'll research it for you.
Yep.
We'll just see if it's true or not. I love live Googling on radio.
Yeah.
It's very interesting
People
listening.
People like to hear this.
Oh, great. Like Christopher Pan.
That really hurt my fingers.
2 a.m. not researching. XXX gay porn.
He was
hacked. He was
hacked.
Want more M. Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM. The M. Rossiano Radio Show. With Harley Breen.
And look, Hallie's been throwing out facts willy-nilly.
And you're welcome, Sydney.
And it turns out Hallie's also a man that if you ask him directions and he doesn't know, you...
I'll have a crack at it.
Make it up.
Because you need an answer and you'll have a wonderful journey.
Sure. And I just felt like maybe he needed to have his facts held accountable. Just maybe do some fact-checking of the facts.
And I'm grateful that you brought it up and people have learnt more things.
Pavarotti.
Oh, that's where we were. It was Pavarotti.
His lesser-known brother wasn't as successful. Used to sing in elevators.
Good coin.
He used to put a coin up his bum to sing.
Yeah.
Not true.
No.
Pavarotti did not shell 5 cent pieces before he hit a top note. We wanted to know what fact. Everyone has a fact they keep in their pocket.
Yeah.
For mine.
Or between their butt cheeks.
Yeah, sure. Mine is, and I told you this the other day, which I love, and I've told 10 people since, the term working blue in comedy.
Oh, I loved this fact.
And you and I work blue. Yes. We are working blues, Em and Harley.
No, I'm very clean on stage. Oh,
yeah. And that term comes from... There was two types of comedy back in the day. There was, I can't remember, the burlesque.
Yeah, yeah. Vaudeville. And...
And now I can't even remember my own facts.
Oh.
What was the two? Anyway, one was family friendly and one was where the naked ladies were.
Yes.
And the family friendly one, if you said anything that the owners of the club didn't like, they would write the offensive material on a blue bit of paper and put it in a blue envelope.
Because you were working...
Blue. And so the term working blue comes from comedians getting pulled up on their material and it was written on blue paper. And that's where working blue comes from.
I really like that fact because I had assumed blue was working to the blue collar working class.
No.
I prefer that one.
Why are redheads called bluey?
Because Australians are idiots.
No, I just feel like there's a reason.
Yeah, it's the same reason you call a big guy tiny.
You reckon?
Yep.
No, I feel like there's a better reason than that. Can someone look that up, please? There's people. Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good. What's your go-to fact? What's the fact you roll out?
That from your wrist to your elbow is actually the size of your own foot.
That is absolutely correct, and I've known that in my life. So there's lots of things in the human body that inform other parts of the human body. Em's just doing it right now. She's putting her shoe.
It is.
And it's very difficult. You should try doing it with a couple of drinks.
Yeah. There's also the pants around the waist, which is one you should do after a couple of drinks.
Yeah, so you use the...
Your neck.
Yes, get a new pair of pants and just, you know, the together, put that around your neck.
And
if
in theory,
it fits around your neck, it will fit around your waist.
That isn't a good theory.
I've used it.
Nah, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Because I get like I've got bum and thighs and my waist.
How'd you get
small,
a bum? I don't have a bum.
I don't put coins up it. Janet, hey Janet.
Hey, how you going?
Good. Talk to me about your fact.
Okay, my fact is that sherbet gives you worms.
Sherbet gives you worms? This feels
it
like
does.
A baby. It does. Actually, we looked this up, Janet.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. It why?
Which means I'm going to now tell people that it does.
Why? That is the most obscure. Why did you decide that it was sherbet that gave you worms?
When I was growing up, I was told by my mother that sherbet gave me worms, and it stuck. And I tell all my nieces and nephews, and even my friends of my own age group who sometimes decide to eat sherbet, that it gives them worms and that they shouldn't eat it.
It's just such an aggressive thing. Sherbet gives you worms.
Janet is the product of an 80s mum.
100%.
And that's why.
100%. 80s mums are responsible for 80% of the incorrect facts out there.
Sherbet doesn't give you worms. You know what gives you worms? Not washing your hands. Wash your hands.
Kissing dogs.
And don't touch your children because they're filthy.
Oh, maybe lots of people stick their finger and stick it in the sherbet to eat, so maybe that's how they get worms from their
maybe she's
right.
Fingers.
Maybe John.
Maybe gives you worms.
Maybe. John, hey, John.
How are we?
Good, John.
Very good,
what's
mate?
Your go-to fact, mate?
I've got a couple. First of all, pigs don't actually sweat.
Okay. Right. Yep.
Yeah, true story.
We did look that up, and my brother and family happen to be pig farmers. They have very, very minimal
sweat glands. Yep.
They find it hard to regulate their heat, which is why they wallow in mud.
Yeah.
And they also use the mud for sunscreen because they're very prone to skin cancer.
John calls himself Fact Guy. You guys should have a fact off.
John, you want to meet up for a beer?
What's your next fact, John?
Sounds good. Coca-Cola would actually be green with no colour additives.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's a great fact.
That is a good fact.
What else you got, Johnny boy?
There's more deaths each year from coconuts falling on people's heads than shark attacks.
Yes. Which is excellent.
That is
I mean, I'm sad for the people who die from the coconut.
Sad.
But it's a funny way to go.
Jeez, you'd be unlucky.
You would be.
God.
Just a coconut. Just,
it was your time.
He said, there's some a number of people that are killed every year from champagne corks.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, shut up.
13 every year.
Okay. Redheads are called bluey. It comes from the gold fields. Their skin was so pale you could see their blue veins.
There you go.
There's a reason.
Bluey.
Another person joining us in studio who has always been a hero of mine, her book got me through pregnancy, someone I look up to, someone who has done this job, forged this path, Kaz Cook.
Yay! An inspiration in the comedy industry as well.
No, you're just bloody great.
Well, it's just because I called the pregnancy book Up the Duff and everyone went, oh, you can't do that. I'd better have a look in there.
No, but that I remember reading that book and skipping ahead in hope that it would speed up my pregnancy.
Yeah.
It's so impatient.
Had that go.
Did not work. No. But I've gifted that book. That, I think if I ever got asked what's the book you've given the most, it would be your book. I gift that to every pregnant person.
I did not realise it would be such a big part of my life. I you know, because my kid's 19 now and that's what started the book and I update it every year and I'm always talking to doctors and making sure it's still right and it's been a goer.
It's the book because
19 years it's going.
Yeah.
Every pregnancy book before it just made you feel bad. Like it just made you feel guilty and horrible.
If you have one forkful of carrot cake, it will go straight down the umbilical cord into the baby's ears. And then nobody knows what will happen.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And I remember setting, it was Robin Child's book on fire in the backyard one day while I was eating a wheel of camembert.
Or you can wear it as a hat.
But we're here to talk about your new novel, Ada.
I know, this is a departure, isn't it? This is a story based on real people from the 1800s and 1900s who were comedians and actors and acrobats. And, well, one woman had a cockatoo act, so she had...
What do you mean?
9 cockatoos on each arm. She would hold her arms out, and then the cockatoos would fly off her arms and fly around the theatre and take people's hats off. And
amazing.
Yeah. I want a cockatoo army. She had a cockatoo army.
She did.
To do her bidding.
She did, to do her bidding. And she was called Madame Marzella, and she's the villain in the book. So everyone in the book is real, but the novel is a story. So 2 years of research, of finding out about them. And the guy, there's a photo of him on the back of the book called Ed Ford. He was what's called a facialist comedian.
Great.
He could laugh on one side of his face and cry on the other. And you'd have to be able to see it from the back row.
Wow.
And he had an act called Bicycle Face because it was in the 1890s.
I'm just loving this.
In the 1890s, bikes were just starting to come in. And Ada, who the book's all about, really, she's the heroine, she was the first woman to ride a bike, but apparently there was a bicycle face, which was, you know, halfway between terror and exhilaration.
Oh, that, you know, like, it was... Oh, I get it.
So I think we all know what kind of face it was, but Ada was the first woman to ride a bike in most Australian country towns because they toured this comedy act, and it was so shocking to men in particular that they used to, so they'd get off the train and to sort of advertise their show that was opening up that night with a clairvoyant act and the fabulous dance with 120 metres of silk and a bit of, oh, how's your father, there's your ankles dancing, you know, from the ladies. And so the women in the troupe would get on the bikes and kind of ride off the steam train and people would faint. And the thing that happened most was men would fall off their horse.
How was work today, Dale? I fell off my horse.
Sorry, woman on a bike, you wouldn't believe it.
I should have seen her face.
You never.
So what did you learn? What was the biggest thing you learned about the women that came before us?
Oh, how feisty and tough that you had to be and how the rest of society thought, I don't know if it's changed, Em, but the rest of society thought, if you're a woman in showbiz, then you are a working girl of the streets. You know,
it
was pretty much that.
Really?
So, but there was also this fantastic camaraderie. And so the book's kind of about loyalty and, you know, in that era where you could die of stuff that we're vaccinated, you know, about now, and, you know, if you didn't have antibiotics and you got a cut from the trapeze rigging, that was the end of you, you know. So you had to be tough, but they had so much fun, you know. And they escaped the life that they otherwise would have had, which was in the factories in England working, you know, 18 hours a day. So she got glamorous, she got rich, and then it all kind of fell apart. And I found out that this mystery happened when the troop went through Adelaide and there was, you know, like a missing baby. And so I got completely obsessed with this story and with the idea of they were so brave, you know, really, to be on the other side of the world from where they were born.
Yeah.
And that idea of making a business out of just your hands, your brain, you know. And yep. I love all that vaudeville stuff. I love all that, those early movies of, you know, Charlie Chaplin and all that stuff. And that's where it comes from.
Well, and it is our history as well. Yeah. I'm so grateful you've written the book. I'm
excited to
read
it. It is our history. Me too.
Because I often refer to myself as a clown or as a vaudeville act. That's what we are, and that's our past. And it's great that you've documented it.
Yeah, and there's all these theatres and places in every capital city. I mean, Sydney, if you ask your grandparents, they will know where the Tivoli Theatre was here.
Yeah.
And they went, and that's where Ada performed, you know. And I ended up really liking her and sort of wanting a bit, secretly wanting to be her a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote it in her voice too.
I love it. This is great. Ada, comedian, dancer, fighter. I really relate to that.
You just want to wear the feathers.
Yeah, I already do, Dom. By Kaz Cook. Kaz, thank you for all that you've done on a personal note as a female comic in this country. Thank you.
Oh, you're lovely.
And thanks for coming in.
No worries.
Good on you, mate.
See ya.
Want more M. Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM.
The M. Rossiano Radio Show.
With Harley Breen. Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Hey, Kelly, how's the gong today?
Really good, thank you.
Good.
How are you going?
Oh, you know, look, it's great. It's Friday. I'm pumped.
Yeah, definitely.
Got a good weekend. What are you going on for the weekend, Kel?
Not much. Just relaxing on the couch.
Chilling out in the gong.
Spending $10,000 is, I reckon, what you're going to do.
Oh, that sounds good too.
You're going to win it, Kelly.
What club's going off in the gong at the moment? Like, what's the hot spot?
To be honest, I'm not really sure.
I love it. Billy's 25 and she's already given
up.
Yeah,
good on you.
Can't be bothered. Good
well, I tell you what, the gong is a good omen because today's letter is W for Wollongong.
Sounds good.
It sounds like it's hard. Em's face made it look like it was hard just then.
Which she couldn't see, so thank you.
Because it's radio. But I it's not hard.
Okay.
You've got a red hot chance here, Kelly.
That's
just
right.
Just going to be quick. There's a lot of front of mind answers. Your time will start after I read the first question, of which you have 30 seconds on the clock. We have to take your first answer, and you can only use an answer once. Here we go. Name a superhero.
Wonder Woman.
A shoe brand.
Pass.
A confectionery brand.
Werther's Original.
A celebrity.
Will Smith.
A plant.
Pass.
An AFL team.
Pass.
A Sydney train station.
I can't say Wollongong, can I? Wollongong.
A method of... I don't know if you get Wollongong.
You
gave me the answer. It's not Sydney.
Check now, it's not. 300, no to Wollongong.
No to Wollongong.
300, Kel. That's
good on you, Kelly.
Thank you so much for that.
It's all right, honey. Don't be disappointed. So 300.
No, 300 is plenty. That'll buy plenty of gifts.
It's a good weekend.
Good on you, Dolly. We haven't done one of these in a while, mainly because Christian got promoted and went off to his new fancy job, and he was really the only team member that needed pulling up.
Yeah.
But the person that took Christian's place, let's play the opener.
This is my invention.
It's where she gets to say what she say. Her opinion is free and pretty much on the way.
This is intervention.
Intervention. There's something about guys who work online for a living.
Yeah.
They tend to be a little bit off.
What's this guy done?
Let's welcome the person who did replace Christian Hull after he got promoted. Let's welcome Kieran Simpson to the desk.
Kieran.
Hey, Kiz.
Hello, mate.
Hi, mate.
Hey, buddy.
Put your headphones on.
This is, I want you to know this is a safe space.
Okay.
And I'm your buddy through this.
This side?
If
of
you
the
need.
Desk.
Yeah, it's
I don't
not
even
safe
know what
over
you're
there.
About.
It's not safe over there.
Kizzy, where are you from originally? Where's that accent?
From the UK.
What section?
A little city called Lincoln.
Right.
Right.
Which is right in the middle.
Yes.
Landlocked.
Great. So you're an odd fellow, I think it's fair to say.
I think I'm normal, but...
Straight out of the gate.
Okay. Well, okay, let's just do a little... Before I talk to you about what we revealed the other day, what we mentioned, what you and I were chatting about, can you just say this for me?
Sixth.
So that's sixth.
Sixth. I've just written the number six with TH.
Yeah.
So we
sixth. Sixth.
Okay. Okay.
But well, this is the one I want you to say. Say that one.
Bath.
Yeah, that is bath.
We're talking about that now.
Yeah.
It's not bath.
It's bath. Not bath.
Say bath.
Well, there's no R in there.
Don't need an R. You're in Australia, mate.
But it's bath. Like that is bath.
You're incorrect. Look, you may be from the motherland, but you have screwed up the mother tongue because it's bath.
What about this one? Say this one.
And I'm from Queensland. I shouldn't be telling anyone how to talk.
Pasta.
Sorry, oh, it's what? Not pasta.
Okay.
Again, there's no R.
Okay. Kieran revealed to us the other day.
Bloody pasta.
Now, what do you do every single day of the week between 4 and 5 p.m. 7 days a week?
I take a bath.
That's for starters. You take a bath, and what the heck is going on?
So every day, Kieran runs himself a bath at 4 p.m. He's a grown man.
Yep. Do you know who has a bath in my house every single day?
Your child.
My 7-year old.
Your tiny
and my
infant.
9-month old.
There's nothing wrong with having a bath every day. It's really relaxing. So it's like, it's nice after having to deal with you two all day to just go home, have a nap.
Hey.
Sorry.
I said it was a safe space.
No one does that. 131060, are you a grown adult person who has a bath every day? No one has a bath every day.
No.
If they're over the age of 10.
I'm right English. Here.
What the hell?
Sarah.
I have a bath every day as well.
What?
What is
yes,
going
Sarah.
On with this stuff?
So lovely.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Where do you find the time? You have two small children.
At night time, after they've gone to bed, then I go have a bath.
Do you have
just
bubbles?
Just a quick one.
Do you have bubbles?
No. I'm allergic to that stuff.
Oh. I'm allergic to joy.
I'm allergic to bubbles.
I have, like, Lush bath bombs I put in. Like, it's really relaxing.
Oh, treat
you
yourself.
Use bath bombs. I tell you what, though, when I check into a hotel on tour and I see a nice bath situation, I'm off to the pharmacy for some Epsom salts and a good soak.
Not every day. Do you put in a Lush bath bomb every day?
Oh, I treat myself, like, once a week.
You're using a bath bomb once a week.
Once a week. If I have a birthday, I always ask for a Lush bath bomb set. So
oh
then
God.
They last for a couple, like 7 weeks.
Kimmy, our EP. Kimmy, do you have a bath every day? Where are you, Kimmy? Talking to your mic, doll.
Kim's gone.
She's having shots. Yeah, go, Kimmy.
I don't know, Kieran, where you even get time. Me? No way. I don't have time to give my kid a bath. He gets a shower.
How old is your child,
three.
Kim? You're sharing a 3-year-old.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Your head.
Sorry, guys. How can Kimmy fit in 10 rosés if she's bathing her kid? All right. Don't. She's a busy working mum.
My kid gets a quick shower. No time for baths in my household.
131060, do you as a grown adult person have a bath every day?
Yes.
Because I think you're a strange individual.
Yeah, you are a strange individual.
Can we talk about the fact... Oh, no, that's another intervention. I'm just going to save that. I've got so many interventions for you.
Great.
All right, we want to hear from you on 131060. Do you know of or are you a human person, a big one, that has a bath 7 days a week?
And
where's HR?
Oi, it's pasta, you bastard.
It's pasta.
Take your calls next.
Want more M. Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM. The M. Rossiano Radio
Show with Harley Breen. We've just had to do an intervention on our digital producer, Kieran. Kieran, we were having a conversation. I want you to know I have 10 interventions now backlogged because of this conversation.
Yes, right.
He likes to take a bath.
A bath.
Every day. From 4 to 5, because on the weekends, you give yourself extended bath time, don't you?
Yeah, I like to take a couple of hours over the weekend just to give my, like, relax and just, you know, have a bath bomb and just really get into life in my head.
I say this with love and sincerity. You're what's wrong with humanity.
What did your girlfriend run it for you?
No, I run it myself. I'm quite capable.
Oh, my gosh. And I just don't understand now in this day and age, in 2017, who's having a bath every day.
Yeah.
And
I am.
You're sitting in your own body.
I first of all, am against baths in general.
I like a bath.
I don't.
Yeah, I love a bath.
I get bored. I get hot. I'm in my own filth. There's pubes. I don't want anything
well,
to do
well, you do have to. You've got to shower after the bath.
Well, just shower.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Oh, it's nice to soak your muscles.
Ugh. have a stretch, mate.
I am so muscular, so it does help.
You are...
Nothing about you makes sense, mate.
For a guy that goes to the gym 6 days a week, I'm so confused. Because you are so muscular. I mean... Kate! Hey, Kate!
Hey, how are you?
Good. So, you take a bath every day?
Not me, my partner, and I couldn't think of anything worse. But it must be an English thing because he comes home every day. He's a tradie and he soaks in the bath for about half an hour to an hour every day. And it just makes me cringe.
Like, does he shower off the bath soup?
No. I have to do that. I've had a bath probably once in the last 5 years and I had to have a shower immediately after. But he just loves to soak in it and it's got all of the dust and debris from his day just floating and has a nice rim around the edge of the bath. And
it makes him sick, but he loves it. Does he have a nice wine while he's in the bath?
Oh, loves a beer or a wine in the bath. Or two or three.
What a man. I support him. Good.
There's something endearing about a big muscular bloke sitting in a tiny bath holding a glass of red.
Oh, if I have a bath, there's always a beer involved.
Luke, hey, Luke.
G'day, how's it going?
You DIY bath every day.
Yeah, I can't justify a full bath and I don't own one. So my shower door is pretty airtight, so I just got to stand on the drain for a while and the water kind of builds up. And then when you're done, you just kind of take a seat and kind of wallow in what might have been.
You're having a bath.
That's so sad.
In the bottom of the shower.
Can you imagine this guy like just trapped in there? Just a little glass squishy cage sitting in an inch of water just with these balls blocking the drain hole.
That's rank, Luke. Just...
It's surprisingly refreshing.
Like you're sitting in where feet go all the time. Yeah. That's disgusting.
Good on you, mate.
Oh, Lukey. I'll be thinking, when I hop in the shower tonight, I'll think of you, Luke. I will think of you. Grace, hey, Gracie.
Hi.
What the hell, mate? What is even going on with your life?
Oh, okay. So this was a few years ago, but roughly 20, 21-year-old boyfriend, currently an ex, he would have maybe two baths a day, normally one. And he lived an hour away from me, and I would travel to see him, and he would go and sit in the bath for an hour and leave me just waiting.
Why'd the relationship end?
I don't understand why you're not still together. He sounds like a perfectly normal person.
Yeah, you can tell, the personality.
Oh, yeah. If you have a bath every day, that says a lot about your personality, Kieran. Just say that number again for us.
Which number?
6th. 6th.
Sick.
Sick. Attack of the sick.
You're sick. Thanks, everyone, for your calls. You're with M. Harley and Edward Gavely.
Hello, guys. Good to be here. Thank you all very much.
Edward?
Yeah, it's Edward.
You know,
Edward.
Us to get Amelia and Edward sounds so formal.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, we could do like the BBC.
We could never do that.
My grandfather was Edgar.
Edgar.
My grandfather was Edward.
There you go.
It's an old name. It's not really. There's not many new Edwards, I don't think.
You know, I have a friend, Malati. She just gave birth and she called her son Bruce.
I was going to do that.
How good is that?
I've got a friend with a kid named Bruce. It's one of my favourite names.
That was on my list.
His last name is Box.
Bruce Box.
Yes.
I was going to say, hens parties Bruce. Of the future. Beware. Bruce Box is coming. Guys, I'm thank you for having me in. It's Friday. And obviously, there's a lot coming up over the weekend.
Yes.
People want to know how their lives are going. Yes. And I don't know about you guys. Do any of you follow your horoscopes?
Only if it's good.
Okay, Em, yes. If it's good?
I do not.
Benny?
No.
This is going to hurt. Okay, because...
If it says bad stuff, I'm like, rubbish. But if it says, in your future, there is wealth and money...
Yeah,
and
it's true.
Oh, my God, this is a science.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm an atheist.
You're an atheist. Okay. No. My wife loves horoscopes.
Oh.
And she'll sort of present them and she'll go, oh, well, remember how I've been talking about this? And she's like, Ewan, she'll backdate horoscopes
100%.
With recency bias and stuff like that. And I go, okay, fine. But my problem is that you can never have credibility with the person who's doing the horoscope. They're just a face. They're just a face in the newspaper or they're just a voice. Remember, was it Arena Starwoman that used to be on the morning shows?
The morning shows. Yeah.
So the problem with these horoscope people is I don't know if I can trust them, Em. So what I've done is I've started to enlist.
You can't.
You can. You can.
Okay. Well, I've started.
They've got names that give it away that you can.
That's right.
Like if you're named Astral Planes.
Yeah. Astral Planes. Yeah.
You are meant to be.
That's normal.
Yeah. You can't be Bruce Box, the astrologer. So What I've done is I've started to get well-known people
yeah.
to come along on our show, on your show, on our show.
No, nah, it's our show. It's your show.
All
now.
Of our shows.
Yeah.
And deliver the horoscopes so that we can, A, believe them and trust them. So why don't we start it with our first Stars with the Stars.
Hello, I'm your celestial guide, comedian and author of the new book Deadly Kerfuffle, Tony Martin. Here is your horoscope. Virgo. With Venus so close to the moon, this is a great month for your finances. You will receive an exciting email from a Nigerian prince. You will receive many riches when you give His Royal Highness, Mr. Johnny of Lagos, all of your bank details. Gemini. With Jupiter rising, love is the order of the month. It might seem strange, but you will be engaged to Mercedes Corby very soon.
If you divorce me, I'll bite you.
Oh, Sagittarius, your milkshake brings all the boys to the yard like it's better than yours. They're like, it's better than yours. Aquarius, Mars is in your orbit, and that means you are a dual citizen. You are in big trouble. Capricorn, the moon is in your career house, so do whatever you like at the office Christmas party. Yeah. Most people have forgotten what you did on the photocopier last year. Leo, much happiness will be bestowed on you when you purchase Deadly Kerfuffle by possible dual citizen Tony Martin. Capricorn, buy a jet ski right now. And that's your Stars with the Stars.
Oh. So I feel like we can trust that, don't you?
That was all facts.
It's all facts. And no cheap Uranus gags. No cheap Uranus gags.
Can that be a benchy for us next year?
If you mean by that by a benchmark, absolutely it can. Yeah. All right, have a nice weekend, everyone. I've got to go back to Brisbane in my plane right now. Whoa.
That's the most effort anyone's ever put on this show ever. That's all we have time for. What a great week.
Yeah.
Good on you. Good on us.
Good on everything.
Yeah.
Well done, Joy.
Hey, just a final reminder and plug, and then I'm going to have a rest. My second show has gone on sale in Sydney, filling up very fast. I'm playing the State Theatre on April Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Which is a great day for me.
It's a good day.
I love the 30th of April. So, yeah, tickets are on sale now. Rush fast and get them because we are nearing full again. Thank
Great.
You, Sydney.
Excellent. Well done, Sydney.
Yes, well done.
Want more M. Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM. The M. Rossiano.